Our gospel lesson from this morning comes from the fourth chapter of Luke's gospel. At the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, he is a man who has worked in the carpentry shop there in Nazareth for all those years. He's been out and been tempted by the devils, been baptized by John the Baptist, but with the calloused hands of a carpenter, he walked into his hometown synagogue to preach for the first time. And this is Luke's account of that. So listen with me for the word of God. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. So he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all the congregation were fixed upon him. And then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Back in January, I cooperated with Jill's one-word program. Not sure exactly what it was going to bring about in my life, but cooperating with my coworkers is a good thing. And as the year has gone by, I have become increasingly grateful for that program, what it's meant. If any of you have been using your one word through the year and have stories to tell about what it's meant to you, I know that Jill and I would love to hear them. My word was practice. Practice. And so on some days, not every day, I pay attention to how I am practicing my faith. And one of the practices that I have found most useful and enjoyable is to read a blog written by Richard Rohr. Richard Rohr is a Franciscan monk. They wear the brown cloaks and they call themselves friars. They follow the teachings of St. Francis of Assisi. He writes beautifully, and his words often get me thinking about things in a way that I really appreciate. And so just a while ago, when I was thinking about what I might be saying this morning, I opened up his blog and I found this title, "What Jesus Says About God." I thought, oh, that's quite an interesting title, and it will be interesting to know what Father Rohr says about what Jesus taught about God in a one-page summary. This sermon was a result of that. This is what Father Rohr wrote, with some edits to make sure this sermon doesn't last more than 30 minutes. He says, "Jesus teaches about the God he knows. When he does quote scripture, the only Hebrew scriptures that Jesus quotes are those that move toward mercy and justice and inclusivity. There are scriptures that present God as punitive and imperialistic and exclusionary, but Jesus never quotes them in his teaching. In fact, he speaks against them." Well, that's an interesting summary. Some people would say it's provocative. about the teaching of Jesus about God. So Father Orr goes on to say, the longest single citation of Jesus according to the Gospels is in Luke chapter 4. The longest single citation. Jesus went into the synagogue and unrolled the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then Jesus closed the book and gave it to the attendant and sat down. Father Orr says, wait a minute. Jesus stopped reading before he finished the text. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 2, actually concludes with these words, and to proclaim the day of vengeance from our God. Jesus skipped that last line because he was not here to announce the vengeance of God. Jesus had a completely different message, and this and thus critiques his own scriptures. This is quite telling. I didn't know that. Read this passage many times before, but never made that connection between what Jesus actually read and what was written there in Isaiah 61. So Luke is here telling us about Jesus' first public sermon in his hometown synagogue. I don't remember my first official sermon. It didn't happen in the church where I grew up. But through the years, I've heard quite a few first-time sermons. And there are two things you can be sure of when first-time preachers step into the pulpit. The first is that the subject will be relatively simple and basic. They'll talk about the core of the matter, not about some details and complications of our faith. And second, the first-time preachers almost always talk too long, because at that point in a preacher's career, you just have way too much that you need to say. So here Jesus was, preaching his first sermon in the hometown synagogue. Luke tells us that he chose the passage from the 61st chapter of Isaiah. Luke records the first line that Jesus spoke, which, gotta believe it, really got those people's attention. And then mercifully, he leaves out all the rest, simply closing with the comment that in general, people were impressed with his gracious words in his sermon. So Richard Rohr's point is that Jesus, when he teaches about God and quotes the Old Testament, puts his emphasis entirely on the fact that God is good and faithful and merciful. That what Jesus says about God moves toward God's mercy and justice and inclusivity, based upon his own relationship with the God he knew. Jesus said inclusive things, that his message was good news to the poor, not just to the rich and the powerful. Jesus proclaimed God's mercy in releasing the captives from every form of captivity and giving liberty to people who suffered any kind of oppression. As Jesus spoke to those people in Nazareth and to all of his other followers, they heard him speak of God's love and God's power so much that every form of blindness would be healed with the gift of sight. Now, Father Rohr acknowledges, as we must if we read our Bibles with our eyes open, that there are places in the Bible which portray God as punitive or imperialistic or exclusionary. But Father Rohr summarizes the entire message of Jesus about God in the fact that Jesus called God Abba, which means Father. Jesus tells about the God he knows using the image of a perfectly loving parent. Merciful, kind, healing, loving. So the adage, the saying that actions speak louder than words was true in ancient times as it is true today. When Jesus speaks to us about God, we listen to the words he says. But if we want to know what he was really teaching us about God, we look at what he does, the kind of person he was, the effect that he had on people around him. In fact, we in the church say explicitly something which remains a mystery, but we believe profoundly true, that God was incarnated in Jesus. That if you looked at Jesus, you were looking at God in the fleshly form. And so everything Jesus said and everything he did and everything that he was telling us about God. Read your Bibles, read the Gospels, and I think you will find there the clear message that Jesus, with the exception of the people whose power and wealth and status was threatened by him, Jesus was responded to by people in a very positive way. Jesus was an attractive man, not attractive in terms of appearance. We have no idea what Jesus looked like, but attractive in the way that people were drawn to him. They sought out his company. They walked for miles to hear him preach. And their lives were changed when he touched them. Jesus was a man who was good and faithful and merciful and inclusive. And so his character taught the same lessons about God that his words conveyed. And so when I read the Gospels, asking the question, what did Jesus teach about God? Seeking a general sort of bottom line answer from all that Jesus said and all that Jesus did, I reached the same conclusion that Father Rohr wrote about in his blog. That Jesus knew and talked about God, who is good and faithful and merciful, whose will is for abundant and peaceful living for all of his human sons and daughters. God, who is Abba, a perfectly loving parent. So here we are today, gathering of the disciples of Jesus. And we claim that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are the ones who now have the job of telling the world around us about God. Surely by the words we speak, but even more so by what we do, by the kind of people that we are. It has been my privilege to work with the Board of Deacons here at Wildwood Presbyterian Church. We meet once a month and we talk about all the things that the deacons are doing. It's a wonderful list of activities and programs and projects that serve this congregation and the community around us. Deacons prepare and organize for all of us to be fed when we share the sacrament of the Lord's Supper on the first Sunday of each month and other Sundays. And deacons prepare and organize for people to be fed from our community who are hungry in our monthly food pantry. Deacons provide meals and other kinds of assistance for WPC members who've just come home from the hospital or who are in some other kind of special need. And then deacons provide backpacks and school supplies and warm winter coats and Christmas presents and all kinds of things for children and other people in the community around us. Deacons support the prayer network. We would invite all of you to become part of it if you're not. Deacons are planning the neighborhood program. They provide ministry to seniors among us. And they put together the plans for special events like the church picnic, which is coming up next Sunday. Tim Garrity is the moderator of the Board of Deacons this year, and he and I met a few weeks ago to talk in general about how things are going on the Board of Deacons. It was a positive and enthusiastic conversation. And the conclusion we reached was that with all the deacon programs running along fairly smoothly, we now have the time and energy to take a deeper look at how all those activities are working, how they are affecting the Board of Deacons personally and spiritually as they're involved in them. How the deacon's actions and words are in fact communicating the good news of the gospel. How we are doing well, or perhaps sometimes not so well, in teaching the world around us about God, by who we are, by what we do. Truth is that sometimes all of us get so busy doing our activities that we just fall into bed exhausted, never having taken the time, chosen the time, to contemplate the meaning of all the things we're doing, thinking about whether our actions are feeding or depleting our souls, noticing how our lives are touching the lives of other people around us. And so for the next few months at least, the Board of Deacons is going to be putting time in our agenda to talk deeply about each one of our activities, essentially asking the question, what is the message about God that our actions and our words are conveying? What are the deacons saying about God? And what do we as deacons working together learn about God by being involved in these activities? So are there ways that we can do our deacon work that will speak more clearly to the community around us the message of our faith that God is faithful and good and merciful and inclusive? I am really looking forward to these conversations as the deacons sit around the table together with the power of God's Holy Spirit at work among them. And so today in this sermon, I'm inviting all of us here at WPC to enrich the practice of our faith by engaging in that kind of questioning about all of our lives, about what we say in our conversations with our friends and our neighbors and coworkers, our families, questions about what we are doing every day, asking how our following Jesus, how our participation here at Wildwood Church is affecting us personally, spiritually, how it shapes the kind of people we are. I hope that you will join me and join the Board of Deacons in contemplating the meaning of all the things that we are busy about, thinking about whether our actions are feeding or depleting our souls, noticing how our lives are touching the lives of people around us. Because if we do listen carefully to our own words, and if we examine all the activities with which we fill our days, we may find some new ways, some new opportunities to tell people about God, about the God we know, about the God whose character we can speak of in our words and our actions. Telling people around us the good news of God's love, of good news for the poor, of good news of release from captivity and oppression, good news of healing of every kind of blindness with the gift of sight. That personal good news that each one of us has to share, that because we have sought out the company of Jesus, our lives have been changed. Because at the end of the day, this day and every day, a good question for all of us as disciples of Jesus is, what have I said about God today? What have I said about God today in my words, in my activities, in the kind of person I am? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.